The GCBCR. All right, I heard Joe, I heard my wife. We got a fun topic today. It's about authority. Okay, I'm just going to lay it out there. None of us like to be under authority. Anyone here likes to be under authority? Nobody. No. We don't wake up in the morning saying, oh, you know what? I just love being submitting under someone's authority this morning. Okay, none of us think that way. We think that we are the source of authority and we make our own decisions. And I think that it's going to be challenged today, okay? Because what we're not going to realize is that there are a lot of different authorities that we submit ourselves to every single day, willingly or unwillingly, okay? And some of these that we submit ourselves to actually are harmful to us. And we're going to see from our passage today that some of the things that the people in the passage were being submitted under, it was actually very harmful to them. And so I was thinking about, you know, what is, when we think about America, who would we think to be a person of authority? What comes to mind? Did someone say Trump? I heard a bunch of students over here say Trump. Okay, so that was the first thing that came to my mind. And I think when people think about authority, yeah, his face definitely kind of comes up there. And I want to show us an article I read. This was a few months ago in the New York Times. And it talks about a secret rebellion. Did you guys read this article? It's this one. So it was published by the New York Times back in September of last year. So this is very recent, just a few months ago. And the title of the op-ed, which is opinion editorial, says, I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. I work for the president. But like-minded colleagues and I have vowed to thwart part of his agenda and his word inclinations. I just found this article interesting, okay, that there was this secret rebellion and Star Wars was huge at this point. And so I was trying to like relate these two together, but I started reading more of the articles, and this is what some of the things said. It says, there is a quiet resistance within the administration of people choosing to put country first. And then this one shocked me. Many of the senior officials, and this op-ed, it was written by a senior official within the administration. It says, many of the senior officials in his own administration are working diligently from within to frustrate parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations. So I'm not going to get a raise of hands of who here supports Trump and who here doesn't, but it shouldn't be a shock to us that when we see the news and stuff like that, that there are a lot of people who are, I guess, in open rebellion against his authority. And then here we see there are people who are in secret rebellion against the authority of the president. And I think this is such a great way of just launching our passage today, because we're talking about authority, right? Some of us have just this horrible reaction to certain authority in our lives. It may be your boss, it may be your parent, it may be your professor, I don't know. There are certain people where you just go like, oh, it's a pain to submit to the authority of this person. It could be your spouse, I don't know. But then there are other authorities where you say, wow, it is such a joy to willingly submit to the authority of this person, because we know that this person has our best interests at heart. We know that this person is the one that builds us up and gets us freedom and not put us in bondage. And that's what we're going to walk through today in our passage from the book of Mark. Now, where we are in the passage right now, we're literally at the beginning of the book of Mark. And not a whole lot have really happened at this point. Jesus has been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. So he just kind of started that. He just started recruiting some of his disciples. In fact, it's just a handful of them at this point. And he had gone out and really not done a whole lot. So at this point in the book of Mark, Jesus is relatively unknown, okay? People don't really know who he is. And so today we're going to see a passage where Jesus shows up in the synagogue. and he's going to do some teaching, and people are going to be blown away by what's going on. And the big emphasis in this passage is going to be the authority of Jesus. There's something very different about the authority of Jesus, and they're going to compare it to some of the teachers of the law. In fact, they're going to compare it to a guy who's demon-possessed. And we want to see and say, you know, how could these people not realize that they were under authority that was oppressing them, okay? And we're going to talk about those two. In fact, there's two very specific things that when we look at this passage, these people were under bondage from this authority, and many of them didn't even realize that. And that's kind of my fear today, is that a lot of us kind of go through our daily living in bondage of different authorities that have just negative impact in our lives, and we don't realize that. And hopefully as we go through today's passage, that will come to light, and we can kind of look at our lives and say, well, am I in bondage to these things? And then the second part, of course, is the good news, right? Not only does the Bible show us things that keeps us in bondage, but the Bible gives us a solution. It says the authority of Christ is the one that will free you from bondages. And so that's what we got to look forward to. The first question as we're going through this passage is, ask this question, am I in bondage to these things? Do I even realize if I'm in bondage to these things? Because many of us might not realize that. And then the second question is, what is so special about the authority of Christ? What makes him so awesome that he can unveil our eyes to see these things? And what makes it so special that he could use his authority to break us free from this bondage? And so that's what we get to go into this morning. It's really exciting for me, because I think many times we're just kind of blinded to a lot of things in our lives. And it's passages like these that God opens our eyes and reveals to us different bondages that we might not even know exist in our lives. So without further ado, let's go into the passage. If you will open with me to the book of Mark, very first chapter, the book of Mark, chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 21 through 28. So Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 28. Mark 1, 21 through 28. Then they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were also amazed, and they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Now, there's two things I think Scripture reveals to us that these people are in bondage. And the first one is this. We're going to spend some time on this. Is that the authority of Jesus frees us from the promises of empty religion. The first thing we see in here is that the people who are in the synagogue, okay, so this, think about it, this is like our church. Okay, we're gathered here, someone up top is preaching and teaching, and so in this synagogue, these are the Jewish people, and so Jesus shows up and he starts teaching. The first reaction they had was they were just amazed. They were thinking, who is this guy? And the reason they're amazed is because they're comparing the teaching of Jesus to the teaching of the teachers of the law. So the teachers of the law are kind of like your everyday pastor, like me, right? I'm up here, I'm teaching what the Bible says, but when Jesus came up and taught, something was very different about how he said it and what he said. And they were comparing and contrasting their teachers in the synagogue to what Jesus was saying. And this gives us a hint of what the teachers of the law were lacking. The first thing that's obvious to us is that they were lacking authority, right? That these teachers of the law, they, back then, all they would really do is quotes from scripture and quote other rabbis. So these teachers of the law, they themselves don't really have a whole lot of authority. And Jesus really gave them a hard time for that. Not only did they not have authority, but the way that they taught, the way that they behave in the synagogue, the way that they behave in public was so contrary to what they were teaching that over and over again in the gospel of all four gospels, in fact, and even into Pauline letters, it showed how Jesus just rebuked these teachers over and over again. And I want us to look at a passage in here where in Matthew 23, Jesus is going down this long list of just condemnation upon the teachers of the law in Matthew 23. And when we go through some of these, we get to see why these teachers of the law lacked power, why these teachers of the law lacked authority, why these teachers of the law lacked life transformation. It's because of this stuff that Jesus points out, okay? So if you will turn to Matthew 23, we're going to look just a little snippet of this from verse 25 through 28. So Matthew 23, verse 25 through 28. And Jesus had already spent like the first half chapter going at it, at these teachers of the law. But I want us to look at this one because he gives us a very good visual of what's going on with these teachers of the law. Matthew 23, 25 through 28. It says, "Woe to you, preachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." And then he uses another analogy. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." So think about it this way. From this outside here, we look at this cup. Is that a cup you would drink from? Anyone here would drink from this cup? Yeah. Okay, a bunch of us. The rest of us are suspicious. If you tilt the cup and you look inside, it has mold, it's dirty, Christ says it's unclean, has death in it, right? Nobody would be drinking from this unless like some middle school boys on some challenge. But most of us look at this cup and say, "Oh, I'm not touching that." And Christ is accusing the teachers of the law this, that on the outside you look awesome. You look like godly people. You look like religious people. But when you look at your inside, when you look at your life, you look at how you conduct yourself, you look at your speech and your thoughts and stuff like that, it is the absolute contrary. That's why when the people sitting in the synagogue, they could immediately tell the difference, right? Someone who looks clean outside but is dirty inside and lack power and lack authority and lack all kinds of stuff compared to Jesus himself. And I want us to see why was Jesus so different. Because a lot of people call Jesus a rabbi, right? Teacher. But Jesus is different. He's very, very different. And I want us to see why Jesus has authority. Why he is not just this empty religious person who thinks they're religious and goes to religious gathering, but lack in every single way that Jesus condemns them. So in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, this really solidifies for us the identity of Jesus Christ and why he has authority to do this kind of stuff. And why is it when he starts teaching, people just go, "Wow." Because if we look at scripture, over and over again, this is the way that Jesus talks. He says, "You have heard this, but I tell you this." Right? He's not quoting from anything. He's just saying it. And this is why he could do that. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Man, this first verse is loaded. We know further down in the passage that the Word refers to Jesus Christ. It says here, "In the beginning was the Word." So Jesus existed way before the start of the universe. It says the Word was with God, so we know Jesus Christ was with the Father. And then it says the Word was God. And so that shows the divinity, right? Jesus wasn't just some regular old dude. Jesus was God himself in flesh. It goes on to say this, "He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made." In case you didn't catch that, Jesus, like all of creation, the reason we exist, the reason the planets exist, the reason the universe exists, all of that came through Jesus Christ. All right, he started it all. It says, in him was life. So life came from Christ. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we could almost see this, you know, those teachers of the law, in a way, they were full of darkness, right? And when you are exposed to light, it is obvious to you who is truth and who is not. We look through Scripture, other aspects of Jesus Christ. Not only is he God, not only does he exist before the beginning, not only was he the creator, but we see him having authority over all kinds of stuff. As a man, all right? So I'm talking about Jesus, the man who walked among us. These were the authorities that he had. He had authority over nature. We see that he could calm storms, so he had authority over, I guess, like the weather. It would be nice that Jesus did something this week for us. It's so cold. Jesus had authority over plants. He could make things grow and die immediately. He had authority over fish, like Aquaman. All right, he could command them to go to different places and like spit coins out from their mouth. It's crazy. We also see that Jesus has authority over demons. He had authority to command legions of angels. He has authority over sickness. In fact, there's like 19 different accounts in Scripture where Jesus was dealing with a person who's sick. Some of them were instantly healed and others kind of gradually. It's crazy. And last of all, I think, which is the most powerful thing that we get, and it really is the linchpin of Christianity, is Jesus has authority over death, right? We see him raise several people in the gospel, and the most powerful moment is when Jesus himself died on the cross for our sin, and he resurrected to show victory over death so that we may have life in him. And so his ultimate demonstration of his authority is resurrection from the dead. That's why when you compare Jesus Christ, he's up there talking, you compare him to just regular old teachers of the law, man, there is no comparison. Okay, there's absolutely no comparison between any man to Jesus Christ. And so this is my fear about empty religion. Just a personal fear, and also as your pastor, it's like my fear as your pastor. The first fear of mine is that I call myself a Christian, but really what I'm doing is I'm just a religious person, and I go to religious gatherings, and it's all empty. There is no power and authority in it. And I'm afraid that as a community here, many of us come to church because it's religious, it's a religion. We come to empty gathering of religious people. And that scares me because we see the emptiness of these teachers of the law. And I'll tell you, it's a very easy trap to fall into, okay? Empty religion is easy, it's simple, it fits our schedules. It's something that we can feel good about ourselves, like, oh, I went to church, you know, I feel good about myself. It's something that's socially acceptable. I mean, there's so many good reasons for us to be a religious person, but never submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. And it's easy to fake also. Look at these teachers of the law, they faked it the whole time. And Jesus comes and he exposes that for them in front of everyone else. And so I pray that here as a community in GCBCR, you know, we develop into an authentic community, one where we root ourselves in the authority and person of Jesus Christ and not in religious activities, not that we come here and do religious things or we're part of a religious organization. Like, that doesn't make us someone who is in Christ, who's born again and submitting to the authority of Christ. What makes us Christians are people who follow Christ Jesus and submit to his amazing authority. So let's be a community here where, you know, if you see someone in here and they could fit into the category of empty religion, I pray that we give each other permission, okay, as a community in GCBCR, to call each other out and to be able to say, hey man, you're kind of going on that route. That's not the place you want to be heading. That's empty, that's darkness, that lacks power, that lacks authority. And so let's be that kind of a community. Let's keep each other accountable and give each other permission to pull each other back, okay? So here's the second one where we see in this passage where the authority of Jesus makes a huge impact, and it's with the demon-possessed dude, okay? The second thing that Jesus does, the authority of Jesus, is not only does it free us from empty religion, but it frees us from demonic possession and oppression. I want us to picture this, okay? Let's say you walked in this morning and I wasn't up here, I was just sitting down there, and Jesus walks in and he starts teaching. That alone would amaze every single one of us. Like, we would be just blown away by how Jesus talks and preach and teach. And then imagine, all of a sudden, you know, I jump out of my seat and go, I know who you are! You are the Son of God! Have you come to destroy us? Right? Everyone's looking at Pastor Carter going like, what is going on? And Jesus says, shut up! Cast you out. And I start shaking violently and I shriek like, and the demon leaves me. That would be quite a sight. Okay, that's literally what's going on in this passage right now. That would be quite a sight. You'll probably all be thinking, time to check out another church next Sunday with less demon drama, right? But that's what's going on. And what blows my mind is there's two observations here. The first observation is that this demon-possessed person was sitting in the crowd, okay? No one knew he was there. No one had the wisdom or the authority or the power to know that a demon-possessed person was sitting in the synagogue with the rest of the people who were there for the religious service. Okay, think about it this way. It would be like one of us here is demon-possessed, and we would never realize that. If Jesus came and started talking, who here would jump up and start shrieking? Right? Look around. I don't know. Could be the person next to you. It could be you. This is crazy, okay? This creeps me out to know that this could happen. And so we see here the lack of authority of the people, and we see again the lack of authority of the teachers of the law, right? They had no clue a demon-possessed person was in their midst. It just blows my mind that this is going on. And I want to go off on a slight tangent here, because when I was talking to this to Aiden, he asked me the question. He said, Dad, can Christians be demon-possessed? I think that's a legit question, right? Can a Christian be demon-possessed? We don't have time to dwell into it, but there are a lot of demon-possessed passages in Mark that we can address it later. But for right now, just in a nutshell, someone who is in Christ, someone whose life has been transformed by God, someone who has the Holy Spirit in them, cannot be possessed, because that would contradict everything that Scripture talks about someone who has a new life in Christ. Like, how could you have the Holy Spirit in you and be possessed by a demon, okay? So I would say someone who's in Christ cannot be possessed, but someone who is in Christ can be oppressed. We're told over and over and again in Scripture that oppression of demonic forces and the oppression of Satan is real, right? He lurks around like a lion, and he wants to pounce on us. He's doing all kinds of stuff to oppress us so that we may be drawn away from Jesus Christ. And that's legit, okay? Whether you're Christian or not, you will be oppressed by demonic forces. And that is just their goal. And we see in this passage the extent to which they would do it. They would possess a person and show up in religious services to distract people away from Christ. This is crazy. I remember when I first became a pastor and I went back to Malaysia, my brother-in-law asked me, he said, oh, Carter, you're a pastor now, right? And I said, yeah. And he asked me, so how many exorcisms have you performed? How many demon-possessed people have you, like, cast, you know, like, demonic forces out of them? And I looked at him, I'm like, zero. Because in America, this is not something that's normal. Like, you don't really see demon possessions or, you know, stuff like that. It's just not the norm in America. But he lives in Southeast Asia. And in Southeast Asia, I mean, demon possession, that kind of stuff happens quite often. And a lot of times as a pastor, it's your job to go into these places and cast out demons and perform exorcisms, which I thank God I'm in America, because it would freak me out to go, like, do this kind of stuff. But just because we don't experience it in America and we don't know someone who's gone through it and we've never experienced it ourselves, doesn't mean it's a lie or it's fake or it's not real, right? So scripture talks about it. We experience it in other parts of the country. So we don't want to be so fast to jump to conclusion and say demon possession, fake. It's not. So we want to be very aware that Satan and demons are constantly trying to oppress us. And in some cases, if you are not in Christ, the possibility of demon possession, that ought to scare you, scare every one of us. The second observation that we see in this passage is that when Jesus shows up, all right, everyone else is clueless to what's going on. Jesus shows up and he casts the demon away. And that ought to show to us the power, the authority of Jesus Christ. Like Jesus came to free us from the bondage of Satan, right? We're told in scripture, Satan was the one that first deceived Adam and Eve. Like he was the one that caused sin to come into the world and death to enter the world. And every single day after that, that's been his job and his demonic forces' job, is to continue to con us and manipulate us and to oppress us and to possess us and to draw us away from Jesus Christ, the only person who can deliver us from demonic bondage, the only one who can free us from these things. And so I want to give us a word of encouragement through Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14, it says this, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he," meaning Jesus, "he too share in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." See, every single one of us have that fear of death, right? It tells us that we fear that. We're in slavery of that. The last I checked, every single person in the world have died, even the ones that Jesus resurrected. But Jesus himself did not die and stay dead. He was resurrected. And it tells us in this passage that only he has the power to break the power of death that is in the devil. And so that's why when Christ comes and he tells us the good news of Jesus Christ, it is a good news of life. It is a good news of everlasting life in Christ. It is a good news of freedom. It is a good news of deliverance from bondage, whether it's empty religion or demonic possession, right? So we look at this passage and say, wow, I never knew I could have fallen into the trap of empty religion. Wow, I didn't know, or at least I don't consciously think about the devils and the demons actively trying to oppress us and possess us. Like, I don't think I wake up in the morning thinking about this kind of stuff. But it's passages like these where God unveils to us, we need to be diligent. You know, these things are happening every single day to us, to people around us that we care about, to this community here at GCBCR, and we have to be diligent. And so I don't know what's going on in your life. Hopefully, I pray to God, none of us here are demon-possessed, okay? But we are demon-oppressed every day. Devil's after us. And so let's be diligent about fighting that and realize that every day is a spiritual warfare. Okay, it's not easy life that nothing is happening. No, every day is a spiritual warfare. So here's where I would like for us to end. In your bulletin, you ought to have this. It's a handout in your bulletin. If you don't have it, raise your hand and we'll give you some extra ones. But it talks about the authority of Jesus Christ. And here's my challenge for each of us this week. There's about 7 to 8 passages on there. And each passage talks about a different aspect of the authority of Jesus Christ. And my hope for us this coming week is that there's a date assigned to each passage. So every day you read one passage as your devotional to learn about the different types of authority that Jesus has. And my hope, at least for each one of us and myself included, is that over the course of this coming week, we develop a sense of amazement at the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll be honest, sometimes I lack that. I fail to be amazed by Christ. And so let us recapture that sense of amazement that these people in the synagogue had. They experienced Jesus in such a way that all of them were left speechless and amazed. Let's capture that this week as we dive into God's word and to see how is it that Jesus has so much authority that blows us away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. It's amazing when you show us passages like these and to see the things that you reveal to us. And I just thank you so much, Lord, for showing us that and for teaching us that whatever is holding us bondage in our lives, whether it's religion or demonic stuff or idolatry or addictions or pain and suffering and anxieties or fear, whatever it is, Lord, that's holding us bondage right now, I pray, Lord, that as we go through this devotion and as we hear this message, that you give us hope, that you fill us with boldness and power to know that whatever is going on in this life, Lord, you have the authority to break that. And that is your goal, Lord, to come into our world, to break the bondage that devil has on us, Lord, that we may have a life that is in Christ. We give you praises for who you are, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right.